By, I want you to stand to your feet and turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of St. John. The Gospel of St. John, the first chapter. Amen. And I want to read the first 9 verses. I'm also going to direct your attention to the book of 1 John. We're going to first look in the Gospel of John, but I want to secondarily direct your attention to the first epistle of John. But let's look first at the Gospel of St. John. Amen. Say amen when we locate the text. While you're reading, I want to thank my African brothers and sisters who always hook me up. I want to give God a praise offering. I'm wearing my African outfit today, compliments of my Liberian brothers and sisters, and I'm grateful for all of our brothers and sisters throughout the diaspora, all of the countries and the continent, and even not just sub-Sahara, but also north of the Sahara, because all of the continent is Africa, as well as the Caribbean and all throughout the diaspora. So praise God for the richness of our expression of faith and culture. The Gospel of St. John, chapter 1, verse number 1, reads as follows. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Here is the reading of God's. Before you go, keep your finger there and go over to 1 John. I want to read 2 verses in this first chapter of 1 John. The one verse starting in verse 5 says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light." Somebody say light. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Verse 7 goes on to say, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Here ends the reading of God's divine and eternal word, may edify and sanctify the people of God. I would that you pray with me, beloved, on the title of today's sermon, Light Trumps Darkness. Light trumps darkness. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I thank you for the opportunity to gather with these brothers and sisters. I pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will indeed be acceptable unto thee. But I pray corporately for all of us that our corporate prayers, our corporate meditations, our corporate thoughts would be acceptable unto thee. Help us to receive your word. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, that your word may not return void, that it may illuminate our minds, teach us something we did not know, that your word may encourage our hearts, help us to know trouble doesn't last always, and that your word may convict our souls. Help us to have a closer walk with thee, O God. We love you, Lord, and we bless you, and ask that you would just move in this place, save somebody, touch everybody, convict everybody, draw everybody closer to thee, O God. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray it. Let the people of God, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Ushers, you may take your seat as well. I want to talk about light on this last Sunday of Black History Month. I want to talk about light, not life per se, but light, L-I-G-H-T. I want to talk about light because the Gospel of St. John is replete with mentionings of the word light. Point of fact, the Gospel of St. John, written by John, the Revelator, we call him, or John the Apostle. We believe this John, not to be confused with John the Baptist, we believe this John was the brother of James, and they were the sons of Zebedee. We believe that this John was the John to whom Jesus said, "Mother, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." And so you've got to imagine the significance of what it means to commend the physical and spiritual well-being of your mother into the hands of your friend. It speaks to John's trustworthiness. It speaks to John's character. It speaks to John's ability to follow through. Because if I were commending my own mother into somebody's hands, I want to make sure that if I'm off the scene, that they are on the scene. I want to make sure that they are going to do everything I would do for the physical and emotional and spiritual well-being of the woman who brought me into this world. And so it speaks to John's significance to Jesus. And it is that John, we believe, John who we believe the word says, whom the disciple whom Jesus loved. That John writes 5 books of the New Testament, of the 27 books. John writes 5. Paul writes 13. We believe that Luke writes 2. We believe that Peter writes 2. We believe that James, Jesus' brother, writes 1. There's one that is unknown author, male or female, the book of Hebrews. We know that Matthew wrote his gospel. We know that Mark wrote his gospel. But it is this John that authors the second highest total of books written in the New Testament. And so John is significant. We must not lose sight of John's significance. It is this John who writes themes. And if you look and did a word study of John's writing, we call them the Johannine writings, as opposed to the Matthean writings, which is the Gospel of Matthew, or the Markan writings, the Gospel of Mark, or the Lucan writings, which is Luke and the book of Acts, or the Patrine writings, which is Peter's writing. We call John's 5 books the Johannine writings. And in those writings, we find repetition of certain themes. In point of fact, I don't think it is any coincidence that John, the Revelator, John, the disciple whom Jesus loves, John, to whom was entrusted the care of Jesus' own mama, the mother of God, some would say. It is no coincidence that John writes a gospel that is different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke's gospel. We call those the synoptic gospel because they're written in the same fashion. They give a chronology of Jesus' life. But John writes a gospel that is not chronological, but that is topical. John's gospel is written around 7 I am statements. The 7 I am statements, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus says, "I am the door." Jesus gives an I am statement, and it is interesting to me that John, who was born a Jew, who was converted to Christianity, or this new faith called the Way, John hears something different than what the other Gospels heard, and John hears Jesus's voice hearkening back to the Old Testament. How do I know? Because when Moses asked God, "Who shall I tell Pharaoh sent me?" What did God say? God said, "Tell Pharaoh that I am sent you." And you know what that means in theological speak. It is a statement of totality. Just tell them I am ... Whatever you need me to be, that's who I am. If you need me to be bread on your table, that's who I am. You need me to be water when you're thirsty, that's who I am. You need to be coals on your back, that's who I am. If you need me to be a battle axe in a time of battle, that's who I am. Remind Pharaoh that I am who I am. So why is it that
unlike Matthew, unlike Mark, unlike Luke, John hears this statement and he writes his whole gospel around seven I am statements. It is a statement about the deity of Christ. It is a statement about the providence of Jesus, the sovereignty of Jesus, that Jesus is not just a man who walked among us, who did miraculous things. Jesus was God himself. And John wants us to know that. So he says, I am. It is John who, like the Old Testament, that says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And the light separated from the darkness. Listen to the voice of John. Reminiscent in the early stages of Mosaic writing. In the beginning, coincident that John starts his book, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and there was nothing created that was not made by him. That in the beginning, Jesus was at the place of creation. In the beginning, John says that Jesus was the Word and the Word was with God and the Word was God. John wants us to understand, even 2 millennia later, that Jesus is God, and that when you've got the Word, you've got God. And when you've got God, you've got the Word, and you better hold on to your Word, because the more you know about your Word, the more you knowing about God, and the more you know about God, the more you ought to know about your Word. Jesus is deity. He is God. No coincidence that the first act of creation was the existence of light. Let there be light. That Saint John writes in his books, plural, about light, more so than any other gospel writer. Why is that? That John wants us to know about Jesus' deity. And so it is that same John that says in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 5, God is light, and in God there is no darkness. Ladies and gentlemen, I submit. If I was in the court of law, I would say, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I submit to you that John is arguing for the existence of God, and that God is light, and in that God there is no darkness. And that is why in the Gospel of John, go back to what we just read, and in the Gospel of John, John writes in his text, look how many times in a period of 5 verses does John mention the word light. He says in verse number 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. 1. And verse 5 it says, and the light 2 shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. In verse number 6, John says, and there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the what? Light. 3 times, that all through him might believe. And in verse 8 he says, he was not that light. 4 times, but was sent to bear witness of that light. 5 times. In verse 9, that was the true light. 6 times, which gives light 7 times to every man coming into the world. 7 times in a period of 5 verses, the gospel writer John repeats the word light. It is not coincidental, ladies and gentlemen, that John wants us to understand the significance of light.
Light in Greek has a couple, several words. One of those words is the word phos, P-H-O-S. If you look at it in Greek, the word phos is the root word for phosphorus. It is the root word for photon. It is the root word for words that often have to do with light. Another word in Greek for light is the word photizo, P-H-O-T-I-Z-O, photizo. The word photizo in Greek is, if you look then, photizo, photo. If you look at the words in English that has the root word phot or photizo in it, photograph, photo. Before we got digital in this 21st century age, you didn't just click pictures and print them out and send them by your digital way. No, if you were 30 years ago, 20 years ago, you used to print pictures in what way? Brother Aubrey's here. Used to print pictures using light and water and allowing the process of formation to come through the light and the images to come out of the light, interacting with the water and the shades and all of those things. And so light, part of the definition of the very essence of God. If you read 2 John, 3 John, many more mentionings of the word light. In the book of Revelation, written by John, John says, and I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the old earth he talks about. He says, I saw a new Jerusalem descending out of the sky, and he talks about the new city. But here's the key point. He says, and in the city there is no night, for the light shines all the time. There is no need of a moon. There is no need of stars. Because when God shows up, light is always the order of the day. In God there is no darkness. So that when God shows up on the scene, the light chases the darkness away. Do I have a witness here today? What John says about the light. He says in verse chapter number 1, going back to the gospel, he says, some people who are in darkness cannot comprehend the light. Can I help you today, somebody? Can I help you with go back to verse number 4 in the first chapter of John's gospel. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5. And it goes on to say, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend the light, because darkness cannot comprehend light. The very nature of darkness is the absence of light. But when you talk to scientists, they tell me that just because the darkness is there with the naked eye, it does not mean that there is not the existence of light, because there's something called infrared light. Can I help you today? This minister to my spirit, that even when it looks dark, if the naked eye, that God always has some light shining somewhere. Infrared light is so far on the other side of the light spectrum that your natural eye cannot pick it up with what you see. But how many of you know, just because you can't see it does not mean that the light is not there? That's a hallelujah moment for me. Because just because I can't see my way out, it doesn't mean that God's not going to make a way out of no way. Just because I don't know how the story ends, doesn't mean I don't keep reading the book, because sooner than later God is going to make a way out of no way. Can I help somebody today? Just because your naked eye sees one thing, you need to understand that just because you can't see it don't mean that it's not there. And here's the point that struck me, that those who are in darkness cannot comprehend the light. And if you think back to your own soul salvation, I don't care how old you were before you got saved, particularly if you were an adult when you got saved, you need to understand that you used to be in darkness.
All of us used to be in darkness. I don't care how holy you think you are right now. You need to remind yourself, I used to be in darkness. But I'm so glad that God got a hold of me and called me out of darkness into the marvelous light. Called all of us out of darkness. Listen, I really hesitate to use colorisms in sermons, because color, the color line, W.B. Du Bois said the problem of the 20th century is going to be that of the color line. And truth be told, it is going to persist into the 21st century. It has persisted into the 21st century. And if we go into the 22nd and Jesus delays his coming, I believe the issue of race will always be the issue of the color line in America and around the world. So I hesitate to get into colorisms, dark and light, because all I got to do is just stay right there, and it brings up pain for some folk in their lives. Dark and light, right? Color bag tests. If you're not lighter than the brown paper bag, you couldn't get in to the sorority. You couldn't get in to the organization. The colorisms of race have destroyed our people, or have attempted to destroy our people. But here, God's word is devoid of our artificial colorisms. God is trying to say that darkness is not about the color, but darkness is about the condition. That the sin nature brings us into dark places. That sin nature brings us into places that God does not want us to exist. And so if you can think of the darkness as the further you are away from God, the more bleak the situation looks. And God is trying to say that in your bleak situation, when I show up, there is no more bleakness in your situation. I need someone to just dwell right there. Because some of you have come into the sanctuary on this last Sunday in February, and your condition you find yourselves is in a bleak situation, and you don't know how you're going to navigate it and how you're going to get through it. But I just showed up to tell someone that no matter if your situation looks bleak, God is light. And when God shows up in your situation, he chases the bleakness away out of your situation. God is light. And in God, there is no bleakness. Come on, someone. John writes about himself. He said, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And he says he came to bear witness of a light. But he was not the light. But he came to bear witness of the light. And right there, I need someone on this fourth Sunday in February to understand that when you are going into your bleak situations, you need to be able to bear witness of someone who brought light into your life and into your situation. And when you bear witness, what does the word bear witness means? I love my Muslim brothers and sisters, because often they don't get up to greet anyone without saying this. I've come to bear witness that the Prophet Muhammad is the Prophet of Allah. I've come to bear witness. And what they're saying is, I've come to give you my statement of truth. I've come to tell you what I believe. And I know you may not believe it, but I've come to bear witness, because my religion cause me to bear witness that there is no God above Allah and that the Prophet Muhammad is his prophet. Well, Muslims are not the only one who need to bear witness, because John says, my name is John and I was sent to bear witness of somebody that's light. I'm not the light, but I've been sent to bear witness of the light. This is my statement of truth.
If you think about it, all of us who believe in Jesus at some point must bear witness of the light of Jesus. At some point, you've got to say, my name is Daryl Armstrong, and I've come to bear witness that I was once lost, but now I'm found. I've come to bear witness that I was once blind, but now I see. I've come to bear witness that I was once in darkness, but now I've been brought out into the marvelous light. My name is Daryl, and I've come to bear witness that I used to drink myself to death. I used to smoke myself to death. But when God got a hold of me, He picked me up, changed my walk, changed my talk, and I've come to bear witness that God is able.
I've come to bear witness. John says, I'm not the light, so don't get confused, don't get it twisted. Don't try to project light on me. I'm a witness of the light. And can I just help someone that if you do nothing else in your Christian walk, just be a witness of the light. Don't try to pretend you're a bag of chips and all a can of Coke and all of that. Just bear witness of the light. You ain't got to dress it up. You ain't got to make it up. Just bear witness of what God did for you. Don't tell no stories. Don't tell no lies. Just bear witness of how God reached into your situation, lifted you up out of your muck and your mire. Just bear witness of what God did for you. John says, I'm not the light. I've come to bear witness of that light. And he goes on to say in verse number 8 and 9, verse 9, that was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. The phrase true light is not to be missed, because there's some fake lights. There's some false lights. In point of fact, God himself, the Father, is called the Father of lights. So if there's only one true light, the Father of lights, then where do the fake lights come from? And so there is something called artificial light. Yeah. And you can get into a lot of definitions of artificial light. They may give a spark and a glimmer, may even some radiance in a certain situation. But here's where you know true light. True light is consistent, and true light never dims out. Come on, somebody. And so the artificial light, come on, they may love you now, but do they love you a year from now? They may say they'll walk with you forever, but when the road gets rough and the going gets tough, where are they? And you've got to be able to distinguish, brother, and distinguish, sister, between fake light and true light. John says he is the true light that gives light to men and women. That started me to reflect on different statements of light in the Bible. I'm going to end my sermon on this. I think there are three clear statements of God's use of light that speaks to me in my Christian walk. The first is found in the book of Genesis. When the people of Israel were wandering in the wilderness, God said, put a cloud by day for you to follow, and a what? Pillar of fire by night. So that when it's dark outside, just keep following the light, the true light that God gave to you. And so God's use of light in that instance reminds me that God gives direction through his light. That when I'm lost and I don't know which way to go, I just need to keep my eyes on the pillar of fire and the light. When I'm meandering my way and going up and going down, as long as I keep my eyes on the light, I believe that God will give me direction. Now, the word of God, Psalm 119 says, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. That when I don't know what to do, let me go into God's word and say, Lord, lead me by your word, because I believe your word is my light. God gives direction through his light. Secondarily, in the New Testament, when Saul was going to Damascus to persecute more Christians, the Bible says that he was riding on an animal. Some say a donkey, yet a light shone from heaven, struck him off the animal. He falls down. And a voice from heaven says, Saul, why do you persecute me? From that moment, Saul's conversion happens. And he goes from being Saul to being Paul. It is that light that I believe convicts and converts us. And from that moment on, Saul, the biggest persecutor of the church, became Paul, the biggest builder of God's church. The light convicted and converted Saul. The book of Acts. Third is in the book of Matthew. That Jesus was getting baptized. It says he came up out of the water, and a light shone from heaven. And a voice from God, and a dove descended. And a voice from God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God's light gives affirmation of his Son Jesus. And if I can just, now there are many other instances, I just chose those three by the leading of the Spirit. If I were to link all three of those, I believe that when I'm lost in my wilderness, when I'm in my wilderness, I believe that God's light will convict me and convert me. That after I'm convicted and converted, it does not mean that I know exactly what way I have to go, but as long as I keep my eye on God's light, that God will make a way for me when I'm wandering in my wilderness. And as I'm wandering in my wilderness, every now and again I might actually mess up. But if I humble myself and fall on my knees and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins, that God will lift me up out of my sin and forgive me and say, this is my son, this is my daughter, in whom I am well pleased. And God will throw my sins into the sea of forgetfulness and give me another chance. That same John, three verses later in 1 John chapter 5, chapter 1, verse 9, says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So as I end my sermon today, I want you to take away this notion that God's light is undeniable. And like the moon in relationship to the sun, the moon does not emit its own light. What does the moon do? It simply reflects the light of the sun. And I just stopped by to remind somebody, go ahead and shoot for the stars. But remember, you really just have to be a moon. As long as you reflect the light of God and you don't let anybody think that you brought yourself up by your bootstraps and pulled yourself up and made a way because of your own strength, that when everybody, anytime somebody say, congratulations, brother or sister, all you got to say, to God be the glory, for he made a way for me. Thank you, but to God be the glory. I'm just reflecting the light of God. Do I have a witness here today? Just go ahead and be the reflector of God's light. I am not the light, but I've come to bear witness that there is a God, and above him there is no other. That Jesus is my Savior and my Redeemer and my Deliverer, and God is my Father. In the name of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I don't care who's in the White House. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I don't care who New Jersey's governor is going to be or who he is. As long as I got the light, I'm going to be all right. I don't care who's the mayor of the city of Trenton. What I really do care. But as long as I've got the light, I'm going to be all right. Do I have a witness here? Is anybody going to be all right? Is God your light? Somebody shall, yeah. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Everybody stand to their feet. Everybody standing to their feet. Everybody standing to their feet. God is light. And in him, there is no darkness. Deacons and deaconess clergy, help me extend the invitation to discipleship. I believe that somebody here needed to hear the word. And it is my prayer that you stay as close to the word as you possibly can. And when you read John's writings, you can't get around the word light. And there's much more deeper word study you can do on the word light. But don't miss the point. God is light. And he will shine in your dark places. You've just got to let him. Pray with me. God, I just ask now your blessings upon your people. That if there's someone here who doesn't know you, who's never made a profession of faith in you, that you, God, would touch them and bring them closer to you. God, we need you now. Some husband, some wife, some parents, some children, we all need you. And we ask that you would shine in our situations. Have your way now, God. We'll be ever careful to give you glory, praise, and honor. For you are so worthy to be praised. Save somebody right now. And those of us who claim to already know you, strengthen the light that you've put inside of us through the Holy Ghost. We thank you, Lord, and we bless you now. In Jesus' name, let us say together, amen and amen. Is there anyone here who has never made a profession of faith? I want you to take this moment before the music starts to just ask yourself the question, what do I really believe in and whom do I really believe? And I hope that you can say, I believe in God the Father through Jesus Christ, his Son. But if you can't say that, you've never been challenged to think about that, I want to challenge you today to think about your salvation through Jesus. And it is my sincere prayer that you would use today as a time to really reflect. reflect, if I died today, where would my soul spend eternity? It's a question we all don't want to think about, but we're going to have to think about it. And I'm offering you a chance, an opportunity, I should say, to come to know God through Jesus. And so if you've never had that chance, you never had that opportunity, I want you to come forward right now out of your seat. Now, if you've already been a member of a church, you've already professed Jesus, and you're praying about a church home, I want you now to consider whether or not this is the church God wants you to join. And we would love to have you as a member of this local church, but more importantly, to sojourn with you as a brother and sister in Christ through God's universal church. We're not a perfect church. There is no perfect church, not till you get to heaven. And so if you're looking for a church home, this is also the time for you to come and join our church. The choir's going to sing, and as they sing, these two invitations are extended to someone. If you're here today, why don't you come and give us your hand and give God your heart.